Hello, friends. Today on the podcast, we're taking what the Yoga Sutras say is the key to serenity and breaking it all down. Hey, welcome to Happy Healthy Human Radio. I'm your host, Samantha Attard, coming at you from the beautiful Washington, D.C. I'm an Ayurvedic coach, yoga instructor, and doula, sharing with you all the things I am learning about and teaching about in my everyday so we can all find just a little more balance, bliss, and confidence. If you enjoy this podcast, please do subscribe. You could also rate and leave a review on iTunes. It helps this show get in front of more people. And the best way to get in front of more people is to tell more people. So feel free to please tell a friend that might also enjoy this podcast. Thank you so, so much. As always, we're running yoga classes Saturday mornings over in Ballston, 9 a.m. for our basics, 10:30 for intermediate. Super beautiful and fun class. Really building an awesome community over there, and really hope to see you in class soon. I also have a couple spots opening up for Ayurvedic consultations. If you are interested in understanding more about your personal dosha, which is your mind-body type, and how that impacts your routines, your food you eat, how you move, how you move through the world, what you enjoy in work, and just how to optimize your daily routines, head on over to BeHappyHealthyHuman.com, check out the information on the Ayurvedic consultation page, or just send me a note. It's Sam@BeHappyHealthyHuman.com. Looking forward to talking to you. We always do a free consultation to start, so if you are interested in that, please do check it out. So today, we're kind of continuing last week's theme. We got a little bit into the Yoga Sutras as it relates to Pride and Prejudice. Thanks for all the positive feedback on that episode, because I really enjoyed it, and I hope you did as well. Currently making my way through the BBC Pride and Prejudice, which is comical. Like, I can't decide if it's actually good or not. It's one of those might be so bad that it's good, but enjoying it nonetheless. And I was like, okay, well, let's stick around in Yoga Sutra land for a little bit. And I was thinking about my favorite of the Yoga Sutras. I really love this Yoga Sutra. So this is by Patanjali. The Yoga Sutras are a book that has been around for at least, I think, 3,000 years or so. And it's basically a bunch of sutras, a bunch of kind of phrases and little sentences that give different instructions on how to achieve yoga. And yoga not being, let's do some poses, but yoga being the state of union. Yoga means yoke. So the state of union with higher consciousness. So in some ways, I almost want to think of it as like the yoga Bible, but kind of not really, because it's not as like story driven, and it's just one guy's retelling of a decision of this exact moment in time. But nonetheless, one of my favorite of the Yoga Sutras, it comes from book one, verse 33, and it says, "By cultivating attitudes of friendliness towards the happy, compassion for the unhappy, delight in the virtuous, and disregard toward the wicked, the mind stuff retains its undisturbed calmness." Or basically, we feel calm, we feel happy, we feel good. So Patanjali is saying we have these four different things, these four different situations that occur, and if we respond to them appropriately, we will find peace. And this really speaks to me. Some of it is my Pitta sensibilities, that I believe in a world of action and reaction, that something happens, it causes a reaction, and there's kind of a very known cause and effect action that's happening in the universe. And what I think is cool is when you develop these tools for dealing with specific actions that might cause distress, you can kind of slowly systematize having a happy brain. Does that make sense? So if you know, you know, every time I see this one person on Instagram, I'm going to get a little triggered in a specific way, and you figure out how to deal with that, this is what I'm going to do about it, then when you see that person and the thing comes up, you know, you have a plan in place, you know where to go. And that's kind of what Patanjali is talking about here, that there's kind of four different types of people and four different situations, and oftentimes we go towards reactions that are not helpful for us. And instead, when we see these actions, let's choose a very particular reaction that's going to be more helpful for us. So reminder, these four situations. First one, you encounter really happy people, in which case Patanjali says, be friendly to them. You encounter unhappy people, in which case, be compassionate. You encounter virtuous people, so delight in the virtuousness. And then you're going to encounter some wicked people, and then experience it with disregard. And on the one hand, you're like, oh, that sounds like really smart. That sounds really easy. Not so easy in practice, right? So how often when we see someone that's really happy or like really winning or is doing good, you know, we get a little jealous, a little envious. Why am I not there? Why is that not working out for me? Why does she get that? Why does he get that? He doesn't deserve that, right? So for step number one, for this first situation, when we see someone that's happy, can we just be friendly and happy for them? We say, awesome. I'm so great. I'm so glad that that's working for you. And it's really, the undertone of that is an abundance mindset, that if someone else is happy, it doesn't mean that they're taking away from your happiness. So amazing, isn't it? I kind of think, it makes me think back to college. We had a couple classes, mostly the physics classes, that were graded on a curve. And it was, there was not an abundance mindset, right? Like, if you're doing great in physics, I'm doing worse. So I hope you don't get a chance to study today, right? Like, I hope you do sleep in. I hope you don't do what you need to do, because that would be much better for me. But the world, luckily, is not a physics class or a law school class or anything where winning has to take away from anyone else. It really doesn't. We live an abundant universe, a very, very abundant universe. So let's be happy and friendly to those that are happy. Similarly, let's bring some compassion to those that are unhappy or are having troubles. You know, sometimes, again, maybe sometimes it's easy for you to really cultivate this compassion for people that are not doing well. Other times, depending on who it is, you might say, yeah, they deserve it. Yeah, they didn't really work that hard for that. So yeah, that's why they didn't get that job. Yep. Right? And from a yoga standpoint, what Swami Satchitananda talks about in his translation of the sutras, especially when you have this idea of karma, obviously they did something to deserve it. Obviously there's some reason you got sick. There's obviously some reason you don't feel right now. So, you know, you deserve this. Ugh, like, sounds so awful, but isn't it crazy how much we do that? So instead, why don't we offer a little compassion, a little mercy? We talked about this months ago on the podcast. You can always go on back to it, Tong Glen meditations, one of my favorite meditation techniques. And the point of it is to recognize how your ill feelings are shared by other people in the world. So no matter what difficulty you're going through, there is someone else in the world that is feeling something similar. The exact situation might not be the same, but, you know, millions of people in the world have lost a parent or a loved one or been broken up with or lost their job or got sick, right? So the idea of Tonglen meditation is one piece of it. It's not the whole meditation, but one piece of it is universalizing those feelings and realizing you're not alone in it. Same way, when you see someone that's not doing well, can't you find a somewhere in your life that you felt the same? Again, might not be the same situation. Maybe someone lost a parent. You haven't lost a parent. It's not to minimize their pain, but you've lost people that you love, right? Like, you've lost relationships that you love. You can commiserate or be compassionate to what is happening. And so that is what they ask, is every time we do it, not just with the people we love, not just with the people we identify with, not just with the people we care about. If anyone is going through unhappiness, we can find compassion. Number three, delight in the virtuous. So when someone does something great, when someone is acting upstanding and right, let's delight in this fact. Let's put energy to this fact. It sounds kind of similar to the first one in terms of friendliness towards the happy, but the twist that I like to put on this one is to give it energy. Right, we know from psychology that our brains are a little bit wired for negativity, meaning if they did the study where, like, if your spouse says something critical of you, it takes like 4, 5, or 6 positive things for it to be counteracted. right? So it's very easy for us to hold on to negative, very easy for us to dismiss positive. And so let's delight in the virtuous. Let's really celebrate people that are doing great things, that are helping the world, that are helping their families and their communities, and or in general are acting as upstanding people. Again, easy to give attention to the troublemakers, harder to take some time to really focus on what good is happening in the world. I mean, this is, you know, look at our news cycle, right? Like how much of it is actually dedicated to good in a pure sense. So it's also not like, oh, they're doing good. Eh. I don't have a great example for it, but they have so much to give. And isn't it so unfair that they have all that much to give in the first place, right? Like there can sometimes be this negative spin on it. So let's find delight in the virtuous. Let's celebrate the virtuous. And then disregard for the wicked. Ooh, this one, so definitely plays in with what we were just talking about. It's very easy for us to focus in on the wicked, to focus in on the negative and to dwell there. And I had a hard time with this one at first because if it sounds like when you say disregard for the wicked, it sounds like you're saying, oh yeah, just turn a blind eye to anything that's negative. Big surprise, the yogi is telling us to be, you know, endlessly optimistic and not think about any of the bad things that are happening in the world. And I don't think that's what they're trying to say. I think what they're trying to say is it's so easy to give it so much attention. Can you give it the attention it needs, but not more than it needs, right? Like focus the attention on action rather than consumption. I mean, have you ever thought about this? Like how many, you know, articles did you read about a shooting or a natural disaster or the church fire in Notre Dame? Like, you know, how much time do we spend just reading and consuming information about it? And how much time are we spending helping to counteract or to aid people, right? I mean, maybe I can't do that much for a cyclone, you know, halfway across the world. Maybe I can give a couple bucks, and that's great. But, okay, if I then do that compassion for those people that are hurting, I might think, you know, actually, we've had a lot of bad storms in DC the last couple of weeks. In fact, there was even like a tornado out in Reston. You know, I bet you some people were affected by that. Maybe I can help in some way in my local community. Maybe there's something I can do, drop off some canned food, whatever it is, right? So when we think in that way and we get more towards, wait, what's the action and where else does this show up? How can I impact it? We move from, again, passive consumption to action. And I think that's what they're talking about when you say disregard for the wicked. You can sit here and dwell on all of the bad things people are doing, or you can say, wow, you know, this is awful that we have, you know, this spate of gun violence. What can I personally do about it? How can I promote peace in the world? And then I'm going to do that. Maybe I'm going to celebrate some people that are doing really virtuous work in this area. Maybe I'm going to make that, you know, maybe I'm going to turn some of this negativity into positivity rather than feeling despair. One of my favorite recent quotes from Austin Kleon in his new book, Keep Going, is he says, you can be woke without waking up to the news. And I love that. Again, it doesn't mean ignore the world around you. It just means that the 24-hour news cycle, the world, the global news cycle, can be detrimental if we give it all of our attention. So can we put some delight on the virtuous, move away a little bit from the wicked every once in a while, dip in as we need to, and use it as a place to cultivate action rather than despair? And doesn't it sound like you could be really happy if you think in this way? Right? Like it actually sounds. At first, you're like, happy, unhappy, virtuous, wicked. Like this does not feel like it's covering everything. But wow, it really creates a lot of room for what's happening in our human emotion and what's happening as we react to situations around us. So let's be friendly when people are happy. Let's be excited when people are happy. Let's be giving attention to things that are virtuous. Let us be compassionate to those that are not happy, that are needing help. Realize the global and universality of these emotions and disregard for the wicked. Change from dwelling in despair to action and hope. Ha! Huh. Patanjali, man, you are a smart dude. I really love that little piece of the Yoga Sutras and highly recommend. I hope it's been helpful for you to think about this a little more. I know it puts lots of ideas into my head about how I want to go about my day and how I can show up better, right? Because I think probably everyone listening is really great at this like 70% of the time. Right? Like, you are very great at being compassionate to the unhappy when you love that person. When you don't love that person, it's a little harder. Or very good at being delighting in the virtuousness of, you know, people that are in a different line of work than you are. But man, if it's someone you're competing with for a job, you don't like their virtuousness all that much. Right? So let's work on bringing up that percentage. Best way to start, holy my goodness, big surprise, with yourself. Yep. How many times are you unhappy and you're like, gosh, stop it? Or, God, yeah, you're experiencing this because you messed something up and that's why you have a headache now. Or you, yeah, that was really dumb of you to not go to sleep at the right time and now you feel bad and you deserve it, right? How many times do we do that to ourselves? How many times do we dwell on the stupid thing that we said or what, kind of brush off things that are going well, right? Whew. I always go back and forth on that whole, like, you have to love yourself first before you love others, or if you can't give anything to yourself, to others that you don't give to yourself. You know, there's been points where I'm like, really? Like, huh? What do you mean? The one that really resonated with me is with Brené Brown, and she explains really beautifully in her book, I think it's in Rising Strong, she explains really beautifully how the judgment we put on others, the negative emotions we place on others, those are ones that we really, like, we're hardest on ourselves. And if we're going to be so hard on ourselves, it's going to translate to other people. In the same way, if we can start to soften with ourselves, we can start to soften with other people. Like, as speaking as a reformed kind of perfectionist control freak person, that was me, I 100% believe this. And I 100% see it. And I think that's what's so interesting. See it, like, either in yourself or in other people around you, that the ones that are most nitpicky are that much nitpickier on themselves. And then you're just like, oh, you get compassion for the unhappy. You're like, oh, like, why can't you see how cool you are? I hope you could see how cool you are. So I really invite you to try this with yourself, to use these four situations for yourself, but also think about them as you move about the world with others. Hope you found this helpful. If you do have any questions, comments, thoughts on this episode, send me a note on Instagram. I'm at Be Happy Healthy Human. Or send me any other notes or things that you'd like to see here on the podcast. Love being here with you, my friends. I hope you have a beautiful day. And I'm sending you so much light and love and friendliness and compassion and delight and disregard. Much love, darlings. Talk soon.